Hello, this is Peter Falk, and you're listening to UCB Sports and Leisure.
Since the dawn of time, man has competed and relaxed. But with that comes responsibility. We go behind the pageantry and ceremony to examine these modern warriors and relaxers to bring you the real story.
From East Hollywood, the investigative capital of the world, this is UCB Sports and Leisure.
Professional football is an economic and cultural cornerstone of everyday American life, generating over $13 billion in ad revenue a year. The Super Bowl alone draws an annual viewership of nearly 170 million people. So it's no surprise why many see the Super Bowl commercial as the perfect amalgam of apex athleticism and the American industrial spirit. One such man who believes in this spirit is Henry Thibodeau, who in 2014 opened the Super Bowl Commercial Hall of Fame in Manchester, New York. Soon after learning of this discovery, Scott and I traveled to Manchester to meet with Henry, who was more than happy to provide a personal tour of his expansive operation.
How did you hear about us again?
Well, I saw a 30 for 30 where they covered the Dan and Dave competition for the 1992 decathlon.
O'Briens?
It was one of the biggest Super Bowl ads ever. They launched four 15-second Super Bowl ads in the 92. It was this January of 92.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that's here somewhere.
We got it all. Everything that ever played in a Super Bowl, you know, we've got it here. We can put you in a room, put you in some headphones, and let you watch these classic.
It's like the TV museum in downtown Beverly Hills.
Yeah. Or there's one in New York to the TV and, was it radio film? And TV and film museum?
You know what? We're legally not allowed to be compared to any of those places, but off the record, that's exactly what it is. But just with Super Bowl commercials.
Okay. We have great.
So, yeah, I mean, it's very exciting. Last year, we crossed over the 5,000 threshold in terms of humans that have been in this building before. You guys are...
Does that count before you were a museum? Like, also in the building?
I don't know.
Because I know you guys had a... it was like a gymnasium and stuff in here before. I don't know if you had...
You know, there's probably a lot of past uses for this building, but...
But it seems well-funded. Like, there's a couple wings under construction, and, like, it seems like you have well-funded...
It makes sense to me, Matt. I mean, commercials like this are a big part of American culture, especially the Super Bowl. It's a time... It's not just about football. It's
half
about...
the people, when you watch the Super Bowl, they just watch the commercials.
Yeah.
It's true.
And people are excited to see the commercial. It's an art form in itself. I mean, that 30-second, that 60-second, it's not easy to get people's attention, sell your product, and entertain people that fast when everyone's judging you. It's not easy, you know.
Not to take anything away from George Lucas or Marty Scorsese or, who's the woman who did the Wonder Woman movie. Mm-hmm. It's a little easier, I think, to tell a story in 2.5 hours than it is to tell one in 30 seconds. And not to mention...
I heard that Kubrick first did a... He did a commercial.
He did an Irish Spring commercial that a lot of people don't remember that was done in the 70s and was deemed to be pornographic in a psychological sense. Not so much actual skin, but just more, it was devious. And so it's very hard to
find.
Didn't
sell much soap, but it was pretty great.
Yeah, and there's the Orson Welles, the famous Gallo commercial that he did.
He shot those and acted in those.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. He was a director. He was the star.
Scott will probably know more. He came out of the ad world.
Nice. Me too. Mm-hmm. And that's part of...
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you're not just a fan of... You actually worked in the industry.
No, I got a couple rings on this tree of experience in terms of advertising. I worked as a freelancer, copywriter, art director as well. Had my own shop for a little while. Very, very short time. And then...
You went bankrupt? You went belly up?
We ran out of money. I don't like to say belly up. That makes it sound like someone died. And no one died. Everyone's still around.
So it's not easy to go bankrupt in advertising. I mean, everyone's just raking in the cash. It's such a huge lucrative job, especially when you started. It's almost hard to fail.
Changed a lot is something that I like to say.
It's gotten bigger and more successful. It's actually a lot of the people I used to work with are very successful now.
It's easier now than it was when I was there.
Instead of getting rejection, you decided to curate a museum where these people would have to petition you?
you know what? I had this idea long before I failed as a copywriter. I said, you know, where do I want to be at 35 and 45 and then again into my 50s? And I said, I would like to go to a small town that has a physical structure that it looks like it could be a Hall of Fame of some kind.
This does look like a Hall of Fame. It's beautiful.
It reeks of Hall of Famery. Mm-hmm. And then I put, you know, look, what's my area of expertise? How do I get the licensing for this? Well, you kind of don't. It's a public domain thing, but then I can get these TV screens up here and create these little rooms for people to sit down, and people will sit here sometimes for a half hour, 45 minutes, and a lot of them say the same thing. We had no idea how many of these you have here.
So that says Nike Wing, Nike 2018. That's coming out.
Yeah, but
Nike paid for that?
We're in talks right now. If they can respond... soon we'll be in talks on
who
that.
Put the money up and up front though? There must have been somebody. I mean, it's a nice
just
looking
for the
wing.
You've been to Payless?
Yeah,
I just grabbed one of those out of a
parking
lot. You
grabbed
the
Payless sign.
Payless.
Oh, okay.
No, it's not. It's Nike, as you can see. But
I'm sorry,
from
you grabbed
Payless.
Okay,
but,
yeah.
But as a former advertiser, I can tell you, it's sort of like grabbing a movie poster from a video store. Remember the old video stores? It's hard to imagine. But I'd say, hey, do you guys have any more of these posters around? And boom, next thing you know, my childhood bedroom was filled with Raiders of the Lost Ark posters, Gremlins 3 posters, mm-hmm. mostly Gremlins 3 posters. That was the main one that they had. And, you know.
Can we go in?
Come on in. Guys,
let's
get in here.
Check it out, Scotty. Get over here, Scott.
Get comfortable.
Check this. Look at
this.
I mean, really, an NFL player just tackling everybody is always going to be comedy.
It's funny. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I always forget how long they are. Yeah, some of these are long, and that's a very specialized Super Bowl thing, too. You have to remember, people are sitting there, they're eating snacks, and then they're looking for a little entertainment. You know, sometimes the games don't go the way you want them to go, mm-hmm. but the commercials should always.
I remember, you know, I love football and I love ads. I never know when to pee. I'm like, I have to just like decide when to run out.
I jump out during the halftime show. Like, I'd rather miss a halftime show than miss a commercial.
We actually, it's funny you should mention that. So we have if you go all the way down the hall, we have a Bud Light wing as well. And there we have Bud Lights that you can drink, old Bud Light commercials that you can watch, and then we have catheter systems that are disposable that you can actually plug yourself into so that you never have to leave. Because that's what a lot of people feel.
Let's check this one out, right? This Budweiser commercial.
I have to pull the arms back.
It's not a slot machine. It's just here it goes.
Remember this guy?
The Budweiser thing.
Mm-hmm.
Are they geckos? After
they're
the
frogs.
Geico?
They're toad frogs.
Okay.
Do you have to know? You have to know a lot about.
I got to know a lot about this. A couple copywriters who I knew from coming up who worked on this: Gordy Sang and Brian Sideband, and great guys. Classic. They've done great work. Taco Bell, Bud Light, and boom, then they get this thing, and next thing you know, I think they have second homes.
I see all these chairs set up over here in this big semicircle around this awards thing. What is this like an event that's going to happen?
Actually left over. What I do is I sublet the space. That's from an AA meeting last night.
Okay.
Just try and get to different revenue streams in here as much as possible. But we'll keep them up here because also someone mentioned earlier today, whoa, this is kind of an amphitheater look.
Mm-hmm. Can I use the museum while people are having an AA meeting? Like, do you let patrons in?
We only let them in at night. And,
So they have the room. They have the whole museum.
They got the run of the place, and actually did. Unfortunately, I did find someone who deceased in one of the viewing galleries.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, which was
you
very sad.
A dead body in your museum?
Yeah, it was a body, and it was dead, and it was. It was unexpected, and I
probably from smoking. Those guys smoke a lot when they don't drink.
I think it was the coffee, the cigarettes, and the withdrawal from the alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Probably the emotional distancing they have that even made him drink in the first place.
Yeah, well, probably alcoholism's difficult. I mean, I attend the meetings sometimes just to, you know, make sure that everything gets mm-hmm. done.
You attend the Alcoholics Anonymous
meetings. You'll sit in?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just to make sure everything's running smoothly.
Oh, like will you weigh in if they're not doing protocol correctly or something?
Like, or will you get the meetings going
like
a little
rule
bit?
Of
like
order?
Some,
will
with
you
some
call
sharing?
A rule you know, of order or something?
No, I just kind of, I'll just be there. And if something is being talked about that I think I've got something to add to, I'll add to it. And
I don't
but
think
you drink,
I don't
but you drink. You're not sober.
Oh, yeah. No, I still
Not during the meetings, though.
No, that's disrespectful, be... and also, you know,
because I see the squeeze bottle, like you wouldn't even know it was in there.
That's Bactine.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. You have a squeeze bottle of Bactine. Do you get?
Well, that's because the dead guy probably. Yeah.
Do you get scrapes a lot?
There's a hill.
Oh, that's the Mormon. That's where the Mormon tablets are buried, up way up that
no,
hill.
No, 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 no.
In
see,
Manchester.
Is this a big end around to get to the
no,
tablets?
No, I just happened to see a sign for the Joseph Smith golden tablets this way.
It's not that close. The sign makes it seem like it's close. I've talked to the city about it. We're in a thing about it, but no, 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 no. It's not that close to here.
Let's check this one here. Now, I love that you set up a whole theme.
Oh, the Mean Joe Green.
Oh, this one is a classic. A lot of people don't know this, but this lighting, if you look at it, it inspired the series Stranger Things. See the little kid? He's wearing he looks like he's going to go
I can see that.
To an underworld, and it's a parallel universe. And then you could just see Matthew Modine with the white hair in this spot. The lighting is incredible.
I think Mean Joe Green, this shot probably inspired that show Blackish.
You think so?
Yeah.
Because it's about an African-American advertising agency?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
So, Scott, tell me why is this...
I say see Stranger Things when I see this. I don't know how you can see anything else.
Why is this ad effective, or why is it, Scott, in your opinion, because you know ads, why is this a noteworthy ad?
Oh, yeah, well...
Obviously, you know why it is, but...
Well, it's because...
is it transforming a sports figure into, like,
commerce?
It's
aspirational.
Well, what it is, it's about... If you really want to know, Matt, it's really like a lot of times Coke, they try and get you to like understand it's about sharing in family and love and things. And it's like always around like when you're trying to share between. So sharing between generations of like heroes and people that look for.
It's a heritage brand.
It really does everything, that one. That's a great commercial. It's been often imitated.
A lot of people don't realize that Mean Joe Green was not wearing thigh pads, but those just, they didn't have them on set.
Big.
His thighs just have those ridges.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Fun fact.
That is nice. How about the boy? Is he still with us? Did he come out for the inauguration?
He is not with us.
Oh, he passed.
He wasn't the dead body you found.
No, okay. No.
So, Matt, over here it says like a sign. What does this mean? The sin... The sin floor, the sinful floor. Is this like cigarette commercials and like hard liquor alcohol?
Yeah, it's all the stuff that, frankly, at this point, the government has decided to regulate. So, yeah, you're talking about...
Because I remember I decided not to work on that stuff. They asked me if I wanted to work on...
Skull
hard
Bandits.
Liquor, I wouldn't do any of that.
We have a Skull Bandit spot up there with Edward James Olmos, which no one's ever seen before.
Really?
You have to come here to see
it. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a strange one. And
that never aired, or it did air?
It only
in a
aired
Super Bowl?
Once.
Like a regional Super Bowl?
Oddly enough, at a Super Bowl party.
Oh, so it qualifies.
Skull said, we're going to try this and do a test market, and we're just going to do it at this guy's house. The guy's name is Gary McClurg. Lived in Fryeburg, Maine. They go, we're going to try this thing out. And they did it. And they put it up, and it didn't play well.
Well, here's something that'll get the fans going. It's a Star Wars commercial. Looks like a Star Wars Volkswagen.
Oh, look at this display.
You're going to love this one.
Yeah. Okay, let's watch this one.
He's baby Darth Vader.
Oh, he's trying to make things work, and they're not.
What's this for again?
This is for Volkswagen, but we don't find that out until the end. This is a little kid dressed up as Darth Vader, timed out for the release of the second batch of Star Wars movies a few years back. And he's just got this clicker, and he's trying to turn stuff on.
Are you crying?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't remember being moved by this one like you were.
Then I guess you don't remember this.
I do.
Watch what the dad does here.
Oh, he turned on the car.
But he made the kid think that the kid turned on the car. Made the kid think that the kid turned on the car.
Did your father never let you drive?
Not only did he never let me drive, but he was killed in our driveway.
Oh, God.
So when I see that commercial, it makes me think about how that was the last place that I saw my dad.
I'm sure it wasn't your fault.
No, I know it's not my... Who said it was my fault?
Oh, I don't know.
That's insensitive,
Scott. Why would you say that?
Yeah.
I mean...
Why would it be my fault?
It's not your fault.
I know a lot of kids dress up and, like, cause accidents. I don't know.
No. Can I ask you a question? So the committee that decides, like, every year, what do you take, 20 or 25 in each class?
We take as many as will respond to our queries are willing to come up, which is the case with a lot of Hall of Fames.
And are you essentially the committee? Like, are you the end-all, be-all voice? Or are there other people you convene with? Because, for example, a lot of these commercials have personal meaning to you, like Darth Vader starting a car because of your own personal thing, but they don't strike me as noteworthy or as, like, radical departures, which is, I would assume, is what you want to reward in this museum.
Yeah, like that Bo Knows commercial isn't even in here. Bo Knows.
Yeah,
a lot of people don't know
that was Bo Diddley who was playing the music in that commercial.
I know, but that's an example of a commercial that's not in here.
Yeah,
why
should
did
be
that
in here.
Not make? Because that was a seminal.
Or the McDonald's one where the dads hold up the field goal and you kick it through. That was, I remember the old story that Steven Spielberg saw that commercial and called those writers in to, like, for a meeting because he was so moved by that.
Is that a Super Bowl spot, though?
Yeah, it is.
Is
and
it?
It's not in here. I'm just saying there's a lot of famous commercials that aren't
in
here.
Well, I put all the Seth MacFarlane ones in here because he's
I know you're a big fan of
genius.
Seth MacFarlane. But.
And then I do, look, if you're a supermodel, you're going to be in there. You know, a lot of Pepsi room because there's some great Cindy Crawford Pepsi stuff.
Yeah, there's like some Tab, those old hot Tab commercials.
Yeah, so I feel a little bit under attack here, but I just want you to know my process of picking these is what are the ones I remember? What are the ones I'm finding online? Can I reach out to anyone and get permission to use this?
And here's the, this is unproduced. What does unproduced mean? This is,
this
is something you wrote, this unproduced commercial.
Is that your name there?
Yeah. They don't have
to be. You put yourself in your own museum?
You know what? It's more of...
This is just like a storyboard, Matt. It's not even a produced...
But it's... You have your name, and then you
It's more just to give people a sense of how the sausage is made. How do you make a commercial? That's a question that a couple people have had.
Have official inductee under
and
this
And you have
spot.
a bust of your head here and face with a big...
big yeah, you're creating
trophy.
A legend.
A little bit like you guys feel like you've uncovered something that's wrong here, and I just want to make sure that
you've dedicated more square footage to your career than, for example, Bo Knows. So it's I'm just trying to see the theme for what
I'm not sure you guys understand how, you know, and I don't want to be contentious here, but I'm not sure you guys understand how Hall of Fames work, because it's not just always about the consensus. It's also about, you know, every one of these Hall of Fames was created by someone with vision, and I've got that vision.
Here's a little
somebody's
kid.
Somebody's coming in. Hold on.
You got the tablets?
No.
What is that? What are the?
It's not here, and it's
Joseph
not even
Smith?
That. It's that not that
Joseph
close
Smith?
To here. Go away.
Is it a Joseph Smith video? I got my family in the car.
Can you read the sign? This is the National Super Bowl Commercial Hall of Fame.
All right, relax, man.
We're looking
relax.
For the Mormon tablets.
Relax.
They put this sign, like, right at the bottom of the hill. And it's confusing because the arrow is pointing up.
Are they in here?
And they've all been on the road for hours, and they come in here, and then they convince me to use the bathroom, and they make a mess.
Can I use the bathroom?
No.
All right. Well,
these people are all on road trips.
That's
this
more
isn't
people
like,
that see your commercials, right. though.
They don't want to stay. They're here for a religious experience.
Honey. Get back in the car.
Yeah, get in the car, honey.
You were kind of rude to him. He just thought this was the Mormon... Where the Mormon tablets are.
It takes a toll.
Well, that happens a lot?
It happens, and it takes a toll.
So you get people looking for an AA meeting in the morning?
Yeah, they think, why would there be an AA meeting at 10 in the morning? And then they come in here at 10 in the morning. It's at 10 o'clock at night, sir.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. It is. That sign is very misleading, because that arrow looks like it's pointing right up the hill.
But it's
to
clearly,
your museum.
It's clearly pointing past our building to where the golden tablets
keep going
are.
Past it.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
And it's like no one ever checks. It says, you know, 1.2 miles. Then
right.
This hill.
This is not 1.2 miles.
No, it's barely 0.8.
Well, that's forgivable. I mean, nobody really watches their odometer.
Excuse me. Is this
unbelievable?
Is this where the tablets?
No,
are?
It's not.
Well, it's another guy.
I'm telling you.
Just be nice.
If I had to guess what the
over-under is. Are you looking for the golden tablets?
Exactly.
You're 0.4 miles away. You got to. Which way is he going?
Can
go?
I offer you a quick peek at a DiGiorno spot from Super Bowl 32?
Is there a bathroom here I could use?
Absolutely not. And
I can
tell you need to go number two, sir.
Come on, let him use
what
the bathroom.
All right.
Sorry.
Whatever. Bye.
Sorry. Wow, you are. Mormons, excessively hard on them.
I don't know what it is, but Mormons are they
irk you.
No. Nice people, but they don't. Their bowels are hyperactive.
Oh, they're always asking you.
Hyperactive bowels.
Can I ask you? Like, you seem to know advertising. Like, who is a good?
Thank you for saying that.
Like, face of a product, like Patrick Warburton for a while was the Wilford national rental car. Okay. Wilford Brimley, Quaker Oats.
Quaker Oats.
That one really was good synergy.
Rodney Dangerfield for Miller Lite.
Let's check that out.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the one right here.
I remember that. Oh, is this it? Rodney was money.
Yeah. And this one's 4 minutes long.
Oh, gosh. They had extended play. All right, I'm going to pause it here. Mm-hmm. I've seen this. Well,
they were like little short films.
This, I feel like, falls into the genre of like getting a who's who in one spot. Like in that ad, you had every famous athlete, interesting cultural people like Mickey Spillane, Rodney Dangerfield. So this formula I see as deserving to be. This is like the first ad that I get why you would put it in here.
Absolutely. I don't know if I agree with that, but
well, no, I'm probably right.
Okay, it's you know, there's a recipe to this stuff, and sometimes it takes a while to find it. And it feels like these guys, the Miller Lite guys, they did find it, and mm-hmm. they found it in the 80s. They started using Euchre, Dave Cowan, you know, the Celtic great.
Yeah.
You know, Bill
Red
Walton.
Red Auerbach, you'd
Red
see pop
Auerbach.
Up.
He always had a cigar.
Yeah.
And basically, these guys said, hey, we're not just selling beer. We're selling the guys that you like to hang out with when you're drinking beer.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of the big
John
thought.
Madden, definitely a good spokesman.
John Madden was great. You know, he looks like a guy that you like to have beer with and a guy that also has beer when he's not with you.
Right. And that's a good combination.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call that, Scott, when they say taste great, less filling? Is that the motto for the ad? Is that the hook?
That's the tagline.
That's the tagline.
Is that the hardest thing about making an ad, coming up with a tagline?
I'm looking at this logo wall, or this wall, and speaking of taglines, like Just Do It's not even up there. That Just Do It has to be the best tagline.
Not because I don't want it to be. It's a legal nightmare with these guys.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. They just don't. Wyden Kennedy, you know.
Up in Portland,
mm-hmm. Agency of Record, which is the name of my old advertising agency, actually, just so you know.
Oh, they stole your name?
No.
You were called Wyden and Kennedy, or you were called the Agency of Record?
And people were like, this is confusing. And
that's why they shut you down?
No, that was more just I was lacking sales.
Oh, you just ran out of money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. I didn't. You keep wanting it to sound like I ran out of money. I
can't even imagine, Matt. I mean, I'm talking. There's so much money in advertising.
Oh,
right
I
now.
Know.
It's just
Scott.
Rake, it's really you can it can't you it's can trip really, over stacks of cash on
really
your way to the
changed
bank.
A lot.
Yeah, so
for
you
for the
didn't,
better. I mean, people are making so much money.
You didn't start a museum to keep yourself employed. I guess is what Scott's
hey, this
saying.
Is lucrative. Much more than advertising was for me, and that's
and you
that's,
can write off if you live here. It's like almost like a home office, right?
Bingo!
This all is a giant home office for you.
Okay. This is my house, and it's also the house of all the people who come here to kick it.
Now this guest, really? Now this this little shop here, I'm seeing a bunch of sweatshirts. I'm seeing taglines that are.
I see a "Where's the Beef" shirt. That's pretty
cool.
Oh, mm-hmm.
She was the best.
That's a classic.
You know, too soon.
Well, she looked old.
And I'm seeing a Chevy.
She seemed old when she did those spots. I mean, I don't know
her. She was only 38.
Shut up.
That was a lot of makeup.
Really?
What was her name again?
The makeup artist.
I forget her name. She was amazing. She was 38. She had that
wow.
Benjamin Button thing. Same
sad.
Disease that the Rose from Golden Girls had. You know, she was in her mid-20s when she did Golden Girls. Yeah.
For real?
Yeah, the oldest one
Estelle
was
Getty?
Estelle Getty. She was 29 when she started Golden Girls.
First season?
First season.
Oh,
and they made her
woman.
Up every day, turned her into like a Yoda.
Thank you again for listening to UCB Sports and Leisure. Special thanks to this week's guest, Brad Morris. And as always, a wonderful thanks to our wonderful producer, Cody Ziegler. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at UCBSL. And if you like what you hear, leave us a like and a review on iTunes. And don't forget to watch Dice on Showtime. Peace.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.